The birth of Jesus as promised in the Old Testament. Chapter 1. The Prophecies. Did you ever see a sunrise? Probably you will answer, yes, we have seen the sun rise above the horizon. But I don't mean that. I mean, did you ever see how the night slowly changes into day? Up until the time when the sun appears. It is dark at night, so dark that many times we cannot see a thing. But at last the morning will come. How? If we look toward the east, we will see very faintly at first, but later more distinctly, a glimmer of light along the eastern heavens. This gleam becomes larger and larger. The light begins to dawn upon the earth. Finally, it is light, but we still are not able to see the sun. The sky in the east begins to color. This is the sign that the sun is coming up. The clouds begin to have a red glow, and they continue to brighten until it appears as though they are on fire. That is a very beautiful sight, isn't it? It continually becomes lighter in the east, until finally the sky is not red, but orange and purple. Magnificent! Oh, whoever sees this comes under the impression of God's majesty, for He created all those things. And the sun slowly rises as a bright red ball and casts its first rays over fields and farms, over trees and shrubs. In this way we can see the dark night slowly changing into bright daylight. Why have I written this for you? Is that a biblical story? No, boys and girls, it is not a biblical story. I have written it because I have a purpose in view. I want to use this as a likeness for something else. Do you want to know why I first wrote this? Listen and give me your best attention because it is a difficult subject. When Adam and Eve walked in the beautiful paradise, they knew of no trouble or sorrow. No pain or grief. The entire world was a delightful garden. Everything, yes, everything sang and rejoiced to the honor of God. But sin, which is so dreadful, came into the world. Eve disobeyed God's command and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She seduced her husband Adam, and he too transgressed the command of the Lord. Then both of them became sinners. Their peace and happiness at once disappeared. Fear and terror came in its place. They trembled when they heard God's voice in paradise, saying, "Where art thou?" And you know the story, don't you? God pronounced the curse upon the whole creation. The curse of the Lord rested upon Adam and Eve, but also upon the animals and everything that grew upon the earth. Yes, even the earth was cursed. Death came into the world. The one animal would rend and devour the other animal. The earth would bring forth thorns and thistles. Adam and Eve, the first two persons, also lost their glory. They lost their gladness and their blissful happiness. God's anger, the wrath of their offended Creator, rested upon Adam and Eve. They would surely die. God's words were, "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Not only Adam and Eve, but also their children would die. Yes, The entire human race lay in spiritual death. They shall die the temporal death, and the eternal death awaits them in hell. Probably you will ask, what is meant by spiritual, temporal, and eternal deaths? The spiritual death means that all mankind is sinful and depraved. We cannot do anything else but sin, nor do we want to do anything else. All mankind, men and women, boys and girls, children and hoary heads, live in sin. We have become slaves of sin. The temporal death means that all mankind must die. God created man to live forever and ever, to the glorification of God. But now all mankind shall die and be buried in the grave. The eternal death means that in the day of judgment, which will come soon, all mankind shall arise from their graves. Then, with both body and soul, they shall groan under the wrath of God in the place of torment. Children, those deaths are the dreadful consequence of sin, and no person could help the fallen race of mankind. It became dark upon the earth, dark as night. Not ordinary darkness, no, surely you can understand what I mean. But then God promised that later the Lord Jesus would come. He would suffer and die. He would bear the punishment in the place of man. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God. The Lord Jesus would be the great deliverer who could deliver the people from sin and the punishment of sin. You can read this promise in Genesis 3, verse 15. We read there, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Oh, boys and girls, that was the first gleam of light of a new day, the day of God's grace. Thus, there still was a possibility of being saved, a possibility of being delivered from the slavery of sin. And this possibility still exists to this day. Adam and Eve believed this. They each received a new heart from the Lord. They waited, desired, and looked forward to the promised Messiah, the promised Savior. All kinds of questions arose in the hearts of those first two persons. Who would that be? When would he be born? Where would he be born? Alas, they did not know. One thing was promised to them, which was, he would come. Nothing more than that. Adam and Eve died. Continually more people came upon the earth. There was not one good person among them all. They were all sinners. Sinners against the Lord. The world continually became more wicked. Murder and all manner of sin prevailed upon the earth. Finally, the flood came. All the mockers and cursers were drowned. Only 8 persons were spared. Noah and his family were safe in the ark. But later, when Noah was mocked by his own child, he spoke the curse upon Ham. Noah blessed Shem and Japheth, who covered their naked father. Noah said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem." That meant that the Lord Jesus would come forth from the descendants of Shem. Thus Noah knew more than Adam. He knew that the Savior would not come from Ham or from Japheth, but from Shem. Sometime later, God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and promised that the Deliverer would come from the race of Abraham. Then was known the nation from which the Lord Jesus would come forth. This blessing went on to Isaac and to Jacob, but the nation of Israel would become very great, and as numerous as the stars in heaven, so they could not be numbered. But when Jacob lay on his deathbed, he prophesied by faith that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. He said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." All the other tribes fell away. Do you see that everything is continually getting plainer, that it is getting lighter? Centuries go by. David, the man after God's own heart, reigned as king. God promised David that the Savior would come from his descendants. Thus the family was made known. There were many families in the tribe of Judah. All the other families fell away, and David's family was left. Oh, if Adam and if Noah had known this, how glad they would have been. Don't you also think so? And the closer the time came for the Lord Jesus to be born, the more was known about it. By means of the prophets, God continually made clearer the coming of the great Deliverer. The prophet Micah, who lived during the time of Isaiah, prophesied the place where the Messiah would be born, for he said, "And thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old, from everlasting." Thus he tells us that the Lord Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Also the time is made known. Daniel says, "Another 70 weeks." He means 70 weeks of years, thus 490 years. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, prophesied the murdering of the children in Bethlehem. Hosea prophesied that the Lord Jesus must flee into Egypt. Zechariah prophesied the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Isaiah prophesied the suffering and dying of the Lord Jesus. He prophesied that Jesus would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. It was prophesied that he would be scourged and ridiculed, that he would be crucified, that they would cast lots for his garments, and that they would give him vinegar to drink. But it was also foretold that he would rise from the dead, and that he would ascend up into heaven. Continually more particulars were revealed. The same as with the rising of the sun, when the heaven becomes lighter and the clouds become colored, so also the heaven was colored for the Israelites by the promises of God concerning the coming Savior. And were the Israelites glad? Did they look for the coming of the Lord Jesus? Did they desire his coming? Ah, the God-fearing Israelites did, but they were few. The majority of the people had no desire for him. Time and again they served idols. Sometimes it appeared as though nothing would become of it. Many times the enemies ruled over them as a punishment from the Lord due to their wickedness. Yes, at last they were led captive into Babylon. Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. Oh, now it is hopeless. It cannot happen. It has become impossible. But Ezekiel says, no, it is possible. With God, all things are possible. The Lord will bring you back to your own land. The temple will be rebuilt. Jerusalem again will be inhabited. And this did take place. For later the Jews returned to Jerusalem. And while they were rebuilding the temple, Zechariah and Haggai prophesied that the Lord Jesus would walk in that temple. Until finally Malachi, as the last prophet, cried out, the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. This means the time is soon at hand. O God is faithful. That which he promises will surely come to pass. The devil made every effort to withstand it. If he had been successful, Satan would have been victorious, and not one person ever could have been saved, because no one can be saved without the Lord Jesus. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, commanded the people to cast every son that was born into the river Nile. Athaliah tried to murder the entire family of David. Haman made a law that all the Jews must be destroyed. But all failed. Everything was unsuccessful. Why? Because God would be victorious and not the devil. Pharaoh died. Athaliah was slain. And Haman was hanged. The Lord saw to it that it had to fail, for God is almighty. All the devils combined could not hinder the coming of the Lord Jesus. The Messiah had to come. This king shall defeat the devil and bruise his head. This king shall pay for the sins of all his elect. He shall take away the wrath and the curse of God, and he shall bring all his people into eternal glory. And now the great question for us is, will he bring us into heaven? Will he atone for our sins and deliver us from the slavery of sin? There is no other way. At present, there are thousands of people who say they can help themselves, but that is not true. It is a great lie. We must be regenerated. That is to say, we must receive a new heart. Bend your knees often and ask the Lord if he will discover to you your guilt and sin. Ask if he will deliver you from sin. A praying life is better than a careless life.